Today is March 5th, 2013, and we are here with Anurakta from Handmade Paper. I believe we have known each other since 1961.
Must be, because I came in 1961, I came finally. I visited in 1960 for 1 month, then I came finally in 61. Okay. And that was because I was in East Africa, and I was in Tanganyika, and one Arya Samaj Sannyasi came on a visit of East Africa. He came to where I was staying in Tabora, and the boys in my office said, would you like to meet him? So I said yes. Mm-hmm. So he was my first introduction to Indian thought and Indian feeling. So we had 3 or 4 meetings with him. And then I went to...
Look at the camera.
I went to Nairobi. Mm-hmm. And he finished his tour and he sent me a phone call. You are so good, I cannot afford to forget you.
Oh.
And the next year or two, I came to India. And because he was the first one I knew, I stayed with him in Rajasthan, Ajmer, Delhi.
But you hadn't heard about Sri Aurobindo
afterwards, uh-huh. When I went to Nairobi, somebody said, if you're going to India, you must go to Pondicherry. And that man had been here only one half a day, but he said, you must visit Pondicherry. So I decided to visit Pondicherry. And I went there first, and I came south and for a month in 1960.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw Mother at Balcony, and I was overwhelmed by Mother. Because the balcony was sort of near, you know.
Yes.
And she was smiling from the balcony, and I was overwhelmed. I thought, no one in the world have I ever met like this, you know. So I asked, she gave me an interview. I went to see her, and I stammered a bit in those days. I couldn't express myself very clearly. And I said, I'd like to stay. And she said, no, you go back and read the books. Well, I already had one book, but I felt that it was awful and I was very upset about this. I felt she didn't understand me, you know. So the next day, there was darshan of her at the bottom of the staircase. So I wasn't going then. I thought, no, there's nothing else to do. Let me go and watch the people. So I went. And I said, I'll join the line and I'll take the message, but I won't look at her. So when I joined the line and came like this, she literally pulled my head up, radiantly smiling at me, because then I gave in, you know. And I came back to East Africa. I used to keep Mother's picture on my bedside. And one morning I woke up, looked at the picture, and it was moving and smiling. So I wrote to a friend in the ashram who I had a lot to do with from the beginning. He used to send my letters to Mother. This one he sent to Mother. So Mother asked him, he said, you write to this man, me, and tell him he can come when he finds it convenient. So the point was that Kenya was becoming independent, and had I waited another year or two, I would have got what was being called the golden handshake, a lump sum of money to resettle in England. But I wasn't going to wait that long. I wanted to come immediately. So immediately I resigned. Immediately I came. And I arrived on the 13th of July, saw her on the 14th of July. She said, I want you to work in Handmade Paper. We're going to make the best paper in India. So I said, yes, Mother, but Afterwards, I thought, what's she doing with me? Or I offered all my money that I had offered at her feet. So I didn't have a rupee. So I said, what's she doing? Because I don't know anything about paper. I don't know anything about machinery. I can't speak the local language. What good am I going to be, you know? So I thought, well, you can't move. You've got no money. So you've got to make the best of it. So I developed the stationery side. I saw that in the paper we used to reject about 30%. Oh. And the rejection I used for stationery, letter pads and envelopes and books and cards and so forth. And every week, every month, I used to go to Mother with a friend, give her an item of stationery, and she was very happy and enthusiastic. And one day, we had introduced marble paper, paper with some colour on it. And I typed a poem of love on the marbled paper and gave it to Mother. And she read the poem and she smiled and she said, the paper is very nice. I thought, no more poetry for me. That's the end of the poetry. So then...
Did you do the marbling there? Did they do the marbling there?
We did the marbling, yes. Mm-hmm. It's developed very well since then. She was very enthusiastic about paper. In fact, some other people in the ashram with other factories, they asked Mother, can this new man come and work in our office? Because they have other people in the handmade paper. So they pressed, and somebody I know was on the staircase, and listening, and Mother said rather loudly, she said, I know what I'm doing. And then some other person said, but Mother, he hasn't joined a group. She said, he doesn't have to join the group, I have special work for him to do. Actually, I have one leg a little longer than the other, so marching up and down in the sports ground would have been.
So Mother said, I know what I'm doing.
That's right. And then, because I had two friends here, and they developed my knowledge of the local society, because we had about 200 workers in the factory at that time. So I used to attend the weddings and the functions of the families. But going round and meeting people, going to their temples, I found a great deal of association with these people. So it was very useful for me in my work that I knew the people. They weren't just strangers, you know. So
how did Mother guide you in your work? Did you write to her? Did you go and see her?
Oh, yes. Well, every week I had to do a little report on sales and expenses and what we'd purchased and what we'd sold and all these little things. And I used to give it to Amrita in his office every Saturday. It became rather routine until one day when I went, Amrita, who was a lovely little man, said, ah, Saturday. And I thought, yes, Saturday, I'm giving something to the Divine Mother on Saturday. So that was good. And what else was there?
Oh, well, I have many, many questions to ask you. One, your remembrances of the ashram in those early days.
Very quiet. Very, very quiet. The whole Pondicherry was quiet, you know. The ashram was quiet. And
did you attend any of the talks Mother gave in the playground?
I must have, but I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Because if she spoke in French, I don't speak French, you know.
How often were you able to see her?
Oh, Baba. Well, when she was on the balcony, of course, every day.
Yes.
Going to see her, we used to go every month with a new stationery item. So she was always extremely pleased to see it, and encouraged us to do more and more like that, you know. Yeah. I'm thinking of something.
Did Mother give her the name?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I wanted to ask that also, yes.
Because I wanted to be part of the ashram life, I asked the mother for a new name.
What is your original name?
Anthony David Rochelle. I changed it a little bit in Africa because my father had been very bad to my mother, so I changed my name to Anthony David Sherwood Scott. Then when I came here, I wanted to get rid of the past and have an ashram name. So she called me and she gave me a card with Anurakta. Underneath she wrote, lovingly devoted. And when she gave it to me, she said, it's very difficult. And I thought, what's difficult about lovingly devoted to the mother, you know? After 50 years, I know what's difficult. Because you have to trust her all the time. Every moment you have to have full trust in her love, you know. Otherwise, you may want to do something next week and she knows it's better to be done next year. So you think she hasn't understood, why hasn't she agreed? We have to trust her totally all the time. So when she said it's very difficult, now I look back and she was giving me a very good guidance. It is very difficult to love the Divine Mother. Very difficult. The other interesting moment was towards the end of her days, I went to her. I was kneeling at her feet. And she seemed so delicate and tender, and I seemed so rough that I hardly wanted to touch her feet. And then Chambaklal was there, and Chambaklal said, put your head on Mother's lap. And I put my head on, I lifted my body and put my head on Mother's lap, and she ruffled my hair like this. I'll never forget that wonderful, glorious moment of her touching me like that. I never forget Chambaklal's telling me to do it, otherwise I wouldn't have done it, you know. A glorious moment in my life. Beautiful. Yes. Any other questions?
Well, I have to recover first from what you just said.
What was your first experience when you met Mother?
I met Mother, first of all, I saw her on the balcony. And I was overwhelmed. I knew that there was no one in my existence. I'd ever met anybody like this. She was so... And the balcony street, the balcony is quite low. So when Mother stood on the balcony, you were quite close to her. And it was overwhelming. In fact, one interesting thing was that after I'd been here some days, she asked one of the secretaries, she said, does this new man know anything about our life in India? And they said, Mother, she's come from Africa. I don't think so. Because she said, there's a tall, dark religious figure standing behind him. And many ways I know that my past life has been connected with Murugan in South India. Only when Sri Aurobindo took me, he wanted me. He told Mother, I want this young man. So then he took me on a new journey to other planets and universes, but I could never forget the past. And the past was standing behind me when I was there looking at the mother. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little more about Sri Aurobindo?
Yes. Well, I have to repeat it every day because I have to remember that he's carried me into the future. I've walked after him, I've stumbled after him, I've called after him. He's lifted me up, he's carried me, but he's gone from earth to moon, to universes, to the sun, to other planets, to other universes, small ones, large ones, and back to the beginning. Everywhere he's carried me into the future. I'm very conscious that Sri Aurobindo is the future. I also know absolutely definitely that nobody in this universe or any other universe has ever written books like he wrote. His spiritual books, his yogic books, his mantric books, especially Savitri, they can't be compared with anything else. They're supreme and superb. That we have to be very grateful for, to read. Every page in Savitri has a mantric power. It's glorious, and the more you read it, often you read it, you get more light and more strength in the body. Outwardly, in India, he was very quiet and silent. But I've had experience of him being in another universe, radiant with happiness and smiling. Extraordinary.
Did you do any music or plays with Mother?
No.
One section we have that everyone seems to respond beautifully to is remembrances of the early disciples. So I'll just, I'd like to start with a dear friend of ours, Marilyn Widman.
Marilyn.
No one has mentioned her yet.
Really? Marilyn was
please.
Very special because she come from New York. She had a good degree in New York. And when she came, she settled here and she had lovely experiences in New York. But when she got here, she met me once outside the post office. She was very friendly. She said, come and have a cup of tea at the tea store. So we got friendly and she said, I can't understand. She said, when I was in New York, I was having lovely visions of the mother. As soon as I come to Pondicherry, I don't have another vision. There's nothing happening. I had to explain that it's because when you're permanently here, you're vital, you're physical, your mental is all being transformed. So we got very friendly. And she was once, I remember one amusing moment, she was once in a shop gone to buy some food. She had very little money. Some other lady came and bought a lot of rich chocolate bars and things for her pussycats. Marilyn said, here am I struggling along with one bar of soap and this lady's got all these sweet things for pussycats. She was exceptional. She had a very strong nature and
Yes, of course, I knew her well also.
Yes.
And were you with us when she left her body? Were you in the lorry with us that day? And he and I were together, I remember that. I thought you might have been with us.
I think I might be,
yes.
Yes.
She had a serious illness.
That's right.
And her stomach was swollen.
That's right.
And Mother said, if she doesn't go to Jipma, immediately she will die. And she said, I am not going to Jipma. I am putting myself in Mother's hands.
How beautiful.
Let happen what will.
Lovely, wonderful, wonderful.
And she left.
That's
peacefully.
Right. Yes.
In the Mother's arms.
That's right.
You remember Champaklal, of course.
Oh yes, Champaklal, I remember, because he told me to put my head on Mother's lap.
Right.
He was wonderful.
Did you meet him at other times?
Not
when
really.
You went up to see Mother, no.
Not really.
I have a whole list of people here. You might remember some of them.
I can't read you.
Perhaps some you worked with. Madhav Pandit, Mona Pinto.
Mona was wonderful. She made a very wonderful success of the Golconda guest house. Very efficient.
Nirod Varan?
Nirod Varan, yes, a fine man. Very good.
Are there any people who specially come to mind that you...
Amrita was very Amrita. Special for me.
I see.
Very, very special. He was simple and he was loving and he opened himself all the time. Other people like Nolini and these people were fine people, but dignified and calm, you know. But Amrita was a wonderful person for me personally. I always took any correspondence with a mother. Always I went to Amrita, nobody else. He was lovely.
How many years did you work at Handmade Paper?
Oh, I joined in 62 and I retired mostly about 4 years ago. I retired because I had some feet problems. So the moment the person in charge, Braber, she sends me anything for signing. She's in charge, you know.
But that's 48 years.
Yes.
My goodness.
How do you spend your time now?
I have people all around India that write to me, phone me now. They don't write so much, they telephone me. And I have people coming to see me and ask my guidance. And I'm so much able to keep my mind silent with no thought that the mother can speak and act through me. So that if anybody comes to ask me a question, I silence the mind and mother speaks through here. And then anybody on the phone, she speaks, she gives the answer. So every guidance I give to anybody is mother's guidance through me. And for me, Sri Aurobindo is in the heart here. Very much so. And then there's now because I'm not, she stopped me wearing spectacles and no false teeth, nothing. So I can't read anything much. I have magnifying glass, but that's not the same. And she has said, no radios, no TV, just remember the divine. And by doing that, every cell in the body will get transformed. That the supernature, every cell will become transformed. And that is the work you're doing. Even if you sit all day alone, that work is continuous. You have to surrender the whole physical body to mother. Every part of the body, every moment of the body, give to mother. Because if you're able to read magazines or look at the television, then a lot of the day goes in wasted moments. But I can't do that. I'm alone all the day.
The supramental descent took place on 29th February 1956.
Yes.
Many people, they still say nothing's happening, we don't see anything's happening after the descent. So...
I feel that what she's told me to do is to be silent. Because the cells have to be transformed. The cells in the body, the cells in the heart, the cells in the eyes and the ears and the mouth, the cells of the body have to be transformed supramentally. And that is happening. She tells me every morning when I pray to her, she says, don't worry, don't feel disturbed. It is happening. It is continuous. You are being transformed. Don't despair or feel worried that you're not doing anything. We are able to work through you completely and totally to transform your whole physical, mental, vital body. It isn't just another little journey, you know, it's cellular.
You believe it is happening in many sadhaks and devotees outside the world?
I think it's happening in very quiet people. If you're sort of talking about it all the time, then it may not be happening. But if you're quiet and if you're going to the dining room every day alone and you're reading Savitri at home, you're going to the group, you're going for a walk on the sea beach in the morning, there you're conscious of the divine. But if you're showing a lot of activity and why doesn't this and this and this and...
So how far is the Superman race when it is going to come?
I think within 200 years. There'll be a nucleus of people. You see, there was another gentleman part of Mother's group. He knew a lot, he read a lot, he interviewed Mother a lot. But then he was too literary, he wanted to read all the time. He wasn't used to silence, so he left the ashram, he went to Auroville, left Auroville and went up to the hills, had a house and a wife. But that total surrender, that total giving yourself, was not there.
You and I had a dear friend, Sam Spanier.
Oh yes, lovely.
And Sam said he had a direct line to Mother. He could speak with her anytime, and she guided him to purchase the land on which Matagiri was built.
That's right.
Could you talk a little about your remembrance of Sam?
Sam was I remember because they used to sell our stationery, you know. Sam and Eric were very close. My memories are just loving, kindly memories, you know. I can't remember anything particularly special, but they were very, two wonderful people. And I remember once, years ago, they came to the ashram, and Eric was very keen on doing everything immediately, so it was a darshan day, so he went and sat very near the samadhi and praying, and then everybody crowded in. And he felt it was impossible. He couldn't move, you know. And then when he came out, he came down to the guest house and said, "It's all ridiculous, it's all stupid." Because he didn't have any space, you know. He sat there thinking it was going to be, the people sat and pushed. And the sound was lovely, very lovely. Very good couple. In fact, they asked me to visit them. They said, "We'll pay the fare." But I didn't want to leave India, and all the way there and all the way back was too much.
You've never gone out since you came?
I had to go in late 70s to 79, 80 to England to see my mother. She was very ill. But I knew that wasn't the place to live in. I have one sister there. We correspond once a year, Christmas. Otherwise, I have no contact. When I did go, I was only there for 4 or 5 weeks.
Did you take part in sports, any activities?
No. As I say, I have one leg a little longer than the other, so I can't do much like that.
And how is handmade paper doing today?
It's doing quite well in a different way. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of staff and a lot of work and a lot of things happening, but then there was some labor unrest, which was very unpleasant. But now with Reba, she's picking it up, and they have a good stationery sales, a lot of guests, visitors come. It's doing quite, quite well.
I was told a story, and we may have to edit this, but the leader of the people who went on strike went up to Mother. Mother agreed to see him. And she said to him simply, "I don't have more money. But if you are willing to let some people go, you can divide that money amongst you." Of course, he wouldn't. No. He couldn't think of it. And so that was the end of that unrest, actually. That's how it ended.
I see. Yes. That's interesting. I didn't know that. Where I live at the moment, we built it to be a union room. But in those days, all our workers cycled in from the villages, so they had no time to go to a union room. Then we changed it into a school room. And the school opened opposite, so the school ended. And then somebody said, "Why don't you live there?" Because they needed one Ashramite on the compound, you know. I'm very grateful for it.
How much handmade paper is being exported?
Oh, a lot of stationery is exporting. We used to export a lot of paper and stationery. I built up the stationery, and now it has very good overseas market. In fact, just this last week, there's been a lady from Holland. She has a very good market. So she came to put order. The Raver is doing very well.
Do you distribute in some parts of India?
All over India, yes. We have market in Calcutta, Delhi, Bombay, Bangalore. Yes.
Madam, wants to ask one question.
Certainly.
Mother says that Sri Aurobindo's permanent dwelling place is in the subtle physical. And if we know how to go out of our body, in our subtle body, then we can meet him in our sleep. And I have heard that corresponding to the ashram here in the physical, there is a very concrete ashram in the subtle physical where Sri Aurobindo and Mother are permanently dwelling. I mean, the being Sri Aurobindo, of course, he's everywhere in
yes,
the sense.
Yes, that's interesting.
Are you conscious in that domain?
Many years ago, I had a vision that I was sat outside the gates to this compound, which that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the labor problem in the factory, I wanted to leave the body.
Mm-hmm.
I was sat there waiting for the gate to open.
Mm-hmm.
So my psychic being came separately and said, "Don't be a fool. You have work to do for the mother. Why are you going to act stupidly like this, you know?" So the gate opened and I saw inside people like Amrita Dolini were gracefully walking around and the ashram was inside there.
Right.
But I had to go back and take birth again.
Right. But did you get a chance to meet Sri Aurobindo, the mother, in that place?
I didn't know, no.
Right.
I have had the blessing of meeting him twice there. I remember his, because Mother confirmed this, and the first time I went, it's a beautiful place. There are these marvelous alabaster columns and these long golden halls, as
beautiful.
I recall. And the first time I met him, he was sitting on a couch, and he motioned me to come and sit next to him. And then he put his hand here, and the strands of his hair fell between his fingers. The next experience happened very soon after that. I wrote to Mother again. Pavitra wrote back to me. I was a very angry fellow in those days, and he was walking and coming with, I think it was Purani and Nalini, and he looked at me and he said, "What a look." And I was very angry. I said, did you or did you not come to me last night? And he smiled and he said, I did.
Lovely. Yes.
Subsequently, I met him, but those were the two experiences when I was 23 years old.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
The last one if more question.
Yes, please.
Many people ask outside, how do you practice your yoga, integral yoga? Do you have any set of, you know, ways of practicing integral yoga? So what do you...
If people ask me, because people do often ask me, especially people that say, working in an office in Bombay and it's all busy and crowded. I say you must give yourself half an hour to 1 hour in the morning, silencing the mind. You must breathe deeply and long and repeat Sri Aurobindo's name and imagine and concentrate on the silence of the mind. And when you've silenced the mind, then you meditate on the Divine Mother or Sri Aurobindo or both in the heart center. You imagine them there. Imagine what color sari mother's wearing, or if she's sitting or standing. And repeat that imagination every morning at the same time and in the same place. And after some weeks, she will become a living presence and you can surrender to her in your heart. And she will guide you if you ask a question. She'll guide you from this side of the brain. This is very important. It can be, you have to, but the silencing the mind is very important, especially if you're working in a, like Bombay or Bangalore or somewhere where there's so much noise and confusion. You get on the tube, you get on the bus, and you go to the office and people are shouting. You must give yourself, get up earlier, give yourself half an hour to 1 hour of silence in the same place. Then you will develop.
So these days there are many new inmates becoming joining ashrams. So this is what you suggest, that they should learn to silence the mind.
That's right. Very important. Very important. Because especially from Europe, people use the mind too much. You know, they'll think, I should be here, I should be there, I should think of this, I should do this, and everything they read, they're thinking, thinking, thinking. Silence the mind, open the silence of the mind to a higher consciousness, and meditate on the Divine Mother in the heart. Because if you're going to find out more about life and lives and universes, you have to silence the mind and open above the mind, like a lotus opening.
Your most memorable moment with the mother was resting your head on the...
On her lap. That was the most important, most memorable, wonderful moment of my life. I'll never forget Chambakla for that.
Beautiful. So you had any other occasions to lay your head on mother's lap, or you had one surprise?
That was just the once. Yes.
What is the purpose and role and responsibility of the ashram now and hereafter, and how do you see the ashram going in the future?
It's complicated question.
Very.
No, it's a nucleus of people that in some measure do aspire for transformation. And it's a nucleus to feed Auroville. Auroville will become, in a wider sense, a gentle sense, but the nucleus, the power factor, will be in the ashram. And people will... See, what's happening in the ashram is now that if you die, you leave the body, within 2 years you get reborn. And often when you're young, you remember who you were. The then you, life after life, new experiences in each life till you become supermental.
Do you know anybody like this?
I know one or two people, yes. But I don't tell them because they'll be mentally stuck with it, you know. Right. And there has to be a fresh process, fresh life.
My friend, who has lived in Oroville for many years, and prior to that in the mountains, in Mother's orchards, told me that he asked Mother this very question once. What is the difference in the ashram and Oroville? And Mother said, the ashram will always be here for those who want to practice the integral yoga. And Oroville, it is so wide.
That's right. Yes, it's the same as what I described.
Yes, 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 yes,
yes,
yes. Thank you.
Okay. I hope it was satisfactory.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'll take you back.
Thank you. Thank you all of you. Bless you all.